is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Australia, the election in Australia, a new prime minister, Anthony Albanese, representing the Labour Party in Parliament, with what I'm told is likely majority or near two. What we're speaking to, of course, is Australia in the world. Australia domestic policy involves that because Mr. Albanese's recommendation to the public was climate change, and that's energy. However, Australia is in the vast Indo-Pacific region, now a command for the United States military and a puzzle for the 21st century. Helping me understand Australia after the election is Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who is in Perth, Australia, said to be the nascent headquarters of AUKUS soon enough, the development of nuclear-powered submarines out of Perth's nearby naval base, will patrol the vast Indian Ocean and into the Pacific. But I come with fresh news from the new Australian government. This is the AP reporting. Australia's new government has urged China to lift trade sanctions if it wants to reset a bilateral relationship that plumbed new depths under the previous administration. Gregory, a very good day to you. Mr. Albanese is already speaking to China conditionally. This is what you must be done. Is your measure the Albanese government will be as cautious about China as the former Morrison government? Good day to you, Gregory.
Good day, John. No, the government of Prime Minister Albanese will not be as firm and as resolute and as outspoken with regard to the People's Republic of China as the outgoing government of Scott Morrison was. However, it will take a fairly firm line, and Prime Minister Albanese at the Quad meeting in Tokyo on May 24th was fairly clear in saying that the Australian government would continue to support the same line that the United States takes on the region, and particularly with regard to the defense of Taiwan. And of course, President Biden overstepped perhaps his State Department brief and said that the US would commit militarily to the defense of Taiwan. And Prime Minister Albanese signed up to that. Now, we know that the State Department walked back the president's comments to a degree, but these statements are all inching it forward to bring Taiwan up as a major platform, not only of the United States, but also of Australia. And Australia, Australian politics and Australian media and so on are increasingly mentioning how critical it is for Australia to commit to the defense of the Republic of China on Taiwan. So that's a big step. Nonetheless, we saw the PRC Premier, Li Keqiang, send a message of congratulations to Prime Minister Albanese on his election. And that was fairly significant. That's a breakthrough statement from Beijing. It shows that Beijing is which obviously welcomed the appearance of the Australian Labor Party government over the Liberal National Coalition of Prime Minister Morrison. So Beijing's happy with the result. It wants a change. But Prime Minister Albanese made the point that it's not Australia which has to change to accommodate the People's Republic of China. Rather, it is Beijing, which has to accommodate Australia. And that was nicely put and went down well with the Australian public. And he said, Australia's policy in Australia has not changed. It's the People's Republic of China, which has changed under Xi Jinping. So it was a backhanded sort of slap at Xi Jinping. And it remains to be seen whether Beijing will accommodate that. But what Albanese is looking for is for the PRC to abandon all of its sanctions against Australian trade in order to resume a moderate relationship. And I think we will see some move toward that. The danger of that, of course, is that it lowers the tension level at a time when the People's Republic of China is actually expanding dramatically in its thrust southward into the South Pacific and into Southeast Asia and toward Australia. We're now seeing, if you like, the Beijing Greater Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere, which emulates very, very pointedly the Japanese Empire's such approach in the 1930s up to 1941, 42.
Gregory, I want to focus on the election just a moment because we're going to turn to foreign policy for Australia soon enough. The election from this distance turned on the public's embrace of climate change as a major theme for the Australian government. Although I understand Mr. Morrison's campaign and Mr. Albanese's campaign both treated climate change seriously, there was this opinion that Albanese is a new direction. However, there was this matter of energy and Australia developing its own energy resources and not being dependent on importing oil or importing natural gas. You have a great deal of coal, for example. Do you expect that to change into the future, developing your own energy resources in Australia? And do you expect there to be a change about exporting coal under the new government?
Well, the export of coal has been going on throughout this period and will continue. There's no question about that. Labor would not tamper with that too much. However, there have been attempts by the Greens and by some of the new teal independents to really clamp down on fossil fuels. Now, Australia is, by the way, one of the largest exporters of natural gas in the world. So it's already a major exporter of energy from that point of view. It already uses a fair amount of natural gas for its domestic use, particularly in Western Australia, but also in Queensland. We've got a lot of natural gas being exploited, used, and sold abroad. And that's very much part of the exploration package for gas and oil in the southern Papua New Guinea area around the Torres Strait. It does need, however, to come up with a policy toward the more organized utilization of coal going forward and perhaps using coal in a better format. It also needs to start looking at the exploitation of its oil resources, which are in shale-like deposits. And now, in fact, we see the start of the debate over nuclear energy. This ostensibly is a no-go area, and all politicians are afraid to touch it in Australia. However, the AUKUS agreement with the UK and the United States about the provision of nuclear propulsion technology for an Australian submarine has really started the debate, and I've been participated in about four of those debates in the last week about what that means to, you can't just develop a nuclear propulsion industry to support the Navy. That will engage a civil nuclear energy debate here, and that will start things going in that regard. And now there's the prospect of talking about the use of thorium rather than uranium for nuclear reactors in Australia. And Western Australia has the world's largest deposits of thorium, for example, and that's a much, much safer nuclear power reactor fuel. There's none of the big outputs of fissile materials capable of polluting or being turned into nuclear weapons. So that debate is starting. It's going to be serious. But you're right in that the election saw the emergence in the city centres in some key areas of what they're calling the teal independents, who are all financed by either the Get Up movement from the United States or from an Australian billionaire backer. And so they've got six inner-city prestige seat members now, the teal independents, and they are vehemently committed to climate change politics. What's interesting, of course, is that all the climate change politics being discussed in Australia, as with the United States and the United Kingdom, comes from urban people and not from people who actually get out into nature. So it's a bizarre situation.
Foreign policy is critical for Australia, and foreign policy, it gets an immediate start from the new government with the news that the Chinese representative Wang Yi is heading to the Oceania Islands, as well as the new foreign minister of Australia heading to Fiji soon enough to talk about the islands and the future. these republics, Republic of Kiribati, Republic of Vanuatu, Fiji, Tonga, we can't leave out the fact that Guam is part of this discussion. That's the base of the American fleet far forward out of towards Asia. So when we come back, Oceania, the new Australian government, I'm John Batchelor.